And she is full of life, and so she have a little brief greeting, which, son, I realized this next greeting is outdated because she says she's 15. Here's a little greeting from Trish and Mariah.
Greetings from Ireland.
Dee Vakarja.
I'm Trisha.
It's Misha Mariah. I'm 15 years old, Palakugvin Degdish. I moved to Ireland when I was 5, and I love it here. I'm in transition year, which is the equivalent to sophomore year in America, which means I get to try so many different things. For example, participate in an obstacle course in mud or be in a bake-off. It's so much fun. Also, I love basketball. Oh, I made it to the finals. Woo!
So thank you for giving us the opportunity to share with you today. Jonathan and Dave can fill you in a bit more on what's happening here in Ireland, but we just wanted to send our greetings and say thank you.
Slána agus gur maith.
Bye!
So, and just so you know, just a little bit about, that was her told multiple times, slow down, slow down, slow down. And that is her speaking slow. Who you be?
I be Jonathan. So yeah, so I'm 19 years old. I've just graduated from secondary school, which is the equivalent to high school. Complete self-proclaimed geek. Absolutely adore technology, science, you know, puzzles, comics, things like that. And very much the other side of the friendly tornado that my sister has been described as. A lot quieter, a lot more into, you know, keeping to myself a bit more, but this has been a really fun opportunity for me to go out and sort of, you know, interact with people and have opportunities that I don't think very many people get a chance to spend month after month, you know, 19-year-old and cooped up in a car for, you know, 6 months as we've gone through this trip. So it's just been a really fun opportunity for me.
And Jonathan has graciously taken a year. Instead of starting school, college in the fall, he's deferred a year so he can hang out with Dad, so Dad's not all by himself, which I highly recommend. If you get a chance to be with your son for 6 months crisscrossing the states, we will be in 25 different states by the time we finish, from October 2nd when we landed till April 8th when we fly out. I highly recommend spend that 6 months traveling the states with your son. It is an amazing thing. And just to give a brief overview of who we are and what our ministry entails, we have a video that Evangelical Friends Mission put together a few years ago, and so we'll just play that for you now here. Maybe. Oh. Come back. Ha-ha.
Greetings.
Nope. Wrong button. I love technology. I mean, this has become more home than the States. And when people say, where's home, we say Wicklow. We've always said the scenery doesn't even come close to comparing with the people. As beautiful as the postcards are, when you have a conversation with someone in a pub, or you have a conversation with someone on a street, or you have just the smiles of the Irish people, the time spent in community is so much more valuable than a lot of times I used to give it credit for. And I love the time spent with coffee, spent time chatting with people in a informal setting, because you can kind of get to a whole deeper understanding. And I love being a part of people's lives, and because it is really an honor to be invited in. It's amazing in community, the humility that comes along with watching different things take place, for Abba to just break through in ways that we've never even expected, and see some amazing changes happen both in our own lives and on our friends' lives together. To see the lives that have been transformed, to see the changes that are taking place, just get us so excited. And every day we wake up and say, cool, what's going to happen today? And it's what keeps us going, and we can't wait to see what happens next. We are the Howell family, serving and living and loving life in Ireland.
Yeah, so everything you see there, there's a reason that the country is known as the Emerald Isle. It's green, top to bottom, left to right, totally gorgeous country. I highly recommend just, you know, looking it up, seeing all the, you know, gorgeous places. You know, Glendalough is a personal favorite of mine, one of my favorite spots. You can go out and hike the sort of woodsy areas, you know, paths and things that you can go out to, a little waterfall. But just things that people always ask is, like, favorite thing about living in Ireland? And then I sit there really blankly for a minute as I can't narrow it down to one thing. That it is a gorgeous country, but at the same time, probably my highlight has to be just the way that Irish people interact with you, where the entire country has this sort of, you know, dry, sarcastic humor, this sort of very bantery way of going back and forth, that you can seem like you're really, really great friends with somebody within, you know, 10 minutes of meeting them. You walk into your chipper, your fish and chip shop. Another thing, translating English to English is harder than you think. You know, when you go down to the petrol station to fill up your car, and then you pop open the boot and, you know, throw your rubbish in the bin, and all of these things that, it's all English, but, you know, not understandable in a way. But just that sort of very bantery humor that, you know, give and take, that, you know, you can't always tell if someone's playing with you or if they're actually trying to, you know, make some sort of subtle little jab at you. It's just a really fun way of sort of, you know, debating and interacting with people. Just really love that about the Irish people.
We do live in an English-speaking country, sort of. We didn't have to go to language school. However, I was teaching in our, we help out with a drug rehabilitation center. And I do chapel with them every week, and I've been doing that since we moved there in 2008, and I've done this hundreds and hundreds of times, and I got to the point where I was standing in front of this group. There's about 20, 25 lads there who are at all different stages of addiction recovery, and it's an in-house program, and I stood up before them this day, and I said, today we're going to goof off a little bit. And suddenly the tone and the attitude and the body language of every single one of those guys switched. And I was like, hold on, something just happened. I don't know what just happened. Something just happened. What did I just say? Now remember, this is in a drug rehabilitation center. They say, well, for us, goofing off is after you've just shot up with heroin. And you're all goofy. So here's the pastor standing in front of a group of people who are in all manner of addiction saying, today we're going to goof off. We're going to shoot up with heroin. So it did take a little bit of culture shock and a little bit of culture change to figure out how do we minister? How do we share? And we still constantly get Americans. You talk about sidewalk instead of footpath and parking lot instead of car park. But it's one of those are little things. What took a little bit more getting used to is the spiritual climate of Ireland. And the number one question that we get asked constantly is, why Ireland? What is it about this country, this land that is known as being a land of saints and scholars, a land that has a history that is filled with Christianity and filled with missionaries going into all parts of the world? But it's also it's a country that's in struggle right now. That according to Operation Worlds and other organizations, it's the least evangelized country of any English-speaking country. Statistics put it at about 40,000 out of 4.5 million people say they have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I was sharing with one of my friends, and we were talking about coming over and sharing, and he said, you got to tell them it's not like it once was. You got to share with them. I said, George, send me a video, and you can share it. So this is what George sent.
Hello, I'm George Tice, and I live in Wicklow in Ireland, and I go to Red Cross Church, and I have the good fortune of going to a church which is also attended and supported by Tricia and Dave Howell and their two great children. And they do a wonderful job with our kids, our youth. They disciple them and encourage them and help them to grow as Christians, and this is great. And the reason this is so great is because in Ireland here, right now, very quickly, we're secularizing at the most incredible rate. There is a heritage of Catholicism in the country, and that heritage has been rejected in an incredible way. So what is really important is our children, particularly in our churches, are discipled strongly as they go out into the world. And we kind of feel that Tricia and Dave have been sent to us for that, and we're very, very grateful. We're very, very grateful to them, and we're grateful to you who have sent them and who support them. It's like having a taste of good, solid American Christian faith here in Ireland, and we're really grateful for that. So we'd love it if that could continue and that your support continues. Thanks. Bye-bye.
There's not a persecution per se that comes against us. But even if I'm sitting in the coffee shop, and I love coffee, and I love cold weather. So Ireland is a great place for me for the cold weather. And I'll sit out on the street out of the coffee shop, and it will be, you know, 40 degrees, and I'll be out there in my T-shirt and drinking my cup of coffee, and people will be walking by. And I love sitting outside because people are constantly walking by. And it gives me an opportunity to have a conversation with folks. It gives me an opportunity to engage people walking by. And I learned very early on, as I'm down at the coffee shop, I can't take my Bible with me. Because if my Bible is open in front of me, people that I know won't stop and talk to me, because the Bible brings with it pain and shame and guilt. It doesn't bring with it hope and glory and grace. If I have, you know, we talk about formality in church and things, that's filled with not good emotions. And so a lot of times we say that when we move to Ireland, we start at minus 10 with people, dealing with a lot of the history, the pain, the baggage that comes with it, to get them back to zero where we can start sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. That's the culture that we live in. The beauty, the people, top notch. But there is a deep, deep hunger for spiritual truths. But it can't be Christianity, because we've seen that and it's failed so often. And then we've seen it in the church that it just doesn't work. So therefore, we don't know what it is.
And I think that very much carries over to the young people. Ireland is a very young country. I actually don't know the stat for it, but a large, large chunk of the population would be like under 30s, or, you know, college age, that sort of, you know, demographic. And one of the few things that, you know, is unchanging is youth. There's very little difference between an American group of kids or an Irish group of kids. Maybe the accent. That's the only noticeable difference. There's still the same amount of noise. There's still the same amount of running jokes, the energy, the chaos that, you know, you put more than three of us in one room and leave us unattended too long, and mayhem will happen most likely. But it's a really interesting way of, people are always trying to find out, you know, what they can put weight in, what they want to invest in, and, you know, what is just surface level. There's always that very, you know, that poking, that prodding, that testing, that, you know, what does this actually carry? What does this actually mean? And another cool thing about Ireland is that they love to debate. They can get into the most heated conversations with someone who you've just met, and, you know, you just sit down in a classroom next to them, you go back and forth, and then somebody will bring up sports, and immediately you're off to the races. The Irish fans are super passionate. There's a reason they're known as the, you know, the Sea of Green, when they're all out in force in their jerseys, that just filling streets, chanting, roaring, shouting. And so that same passion, that same energy gets channeled into these conversations where, you know, you bring up sports or you bring up politics or you bring up anything that's happened, and people are off to the races. They're out, you know, debating, messing around, chatting about it. And that's a really cool opportunity for me, who also loves that back and forth. Loves that sort of, you know, chatting and asking questions. The way that that sort of falls into what we do is, I stick out like a sore thumb over there. You know, sounding the way I do, you know, using the slang, there's the inevitable, he said y'all. And just this constant, you know, not quite fitting in perfectly, very much different. So people know that I'm the American MK. People know that, you know, that's what we're doing over here. So those conversations come up. Well, why are you here? Why are you always coincidentally busy on a Sunday morning when you can't hang out with us? And that's those conversations that you get to have. You get to sort of explain where I'm coming from, explain my background. But by the same token, always being willing to listen. I don't know about you, but usually when I'm talking with somebody and I'm having a conversation, it's nicer when you actually get them to engage. You know, talking at someone doesn't sound like the most enjoyable thing in the world if you don't have any sort of time to, you know, take your breath and let someone else say their piece, to hear their stories. As we've been traveling, you don't understand how many ridiculous, how many hilarious, how many heartbreaking stories that people have that you get to listen to, and you get to collect. You get to hear all these perspectives that you wouldn't have otherwise. You know, as he's been saying, we're going to be covering half of the United States in a 6-month period of time, and that very much plays into what we're doing in Ireland, where people know who I am, and so I'm able to sort of almost pass things along and have those conversations, to come alongside people, build up those relationships. My best mates in the entire country are, you know, the ones that I've just built up through classes, through, you know, the youth group, through, you know, general nonsense of, you know, playing games, going bowling. But it's also those, you know, when your phone buzzes at 3 in the morning, having those really tight friends that you kind of, you pick up your phone, you look at it, and you're like, can you meet me outside? Drag yourself out and be right there. It's being able to meet people where they're at, hear their side, listen, and be able to sort of pass things on, I suppose. That's the biggest thing that I've found. That, you know, an example of this was in the youth group that, you know, there's a guy named Ryan where he feels like he's called to ministry but didn't know what that looked like in any way, shape, or form. He just felt that he was called to go somewhere. And so watching him kind of struggle with things that I know what it's like, you know, being an MK for the past, you know, half of my life, I know a thing or two about being a third culture kid, about how people ask, where's home for me? And I go, born East Coast, raised West Coast, live in Ireland, yes. Throw a dart at a map and I'm there. And being able to sort of pass on the things that I've learned, be able to sort of share stories, trade information with people, is just a really, really natural way of going about building up that ministry, I suppose.
This is the verse that's on the back of our prayer cards. And it simply says, we loved you so much that we share with you not only God's good news, but our own lives as well, because you have become so dear to us. When people say, why Ireland, and we share the statistics and we share this, and then they say, well, how then do you break through all of those barriers? How does this look? What does ministry, because we don't have a church. We don't have formal Bible studies. We don't have what we would envision what a missionary does in a foreign country. So what do you do? And simply put, we come alongside our friends waiting to be invited in through this. Through the opportunity of, we loved you so much that we share with you not only God's good news. Everybody knows that we are the missionaries. We are Christians, that we walk through the streets and people will be talking. We've had friends who have heard about people on the streets talking about the American missionaries, talking about them and what they're doing and everything and how they're actually doing good. They're listening to people. They're not just trying to come over and force things. They're actually engaging with the culture. Because a lot of our friends aren't ready to hear the good news yet because of all of the stuff, all of the baggage that comes with it. And that's okay. So until they're ready to hear the good news, we share our very lives. And how that looks is simply explained with the young lady who is on your right, my left. Her name is Charlotte. And Charlotte is a lady who has a reputation. She's a reputation of somebody who says a lot of stuff. She's a person who really desires to be loved and will say whatever it takes to be loved. So she will gossip. She will tell stories. She will share whatever it is. And it was one of those when she moved into our estate, into our neighborhood, our subdivision, we were told, stay away from her because she will say all manner of things about you. Be mindful of her. And we're like, okay, so first thing Trish did is walked over. Hey, Charlotte, do you want to go get coffee? Absolutely. Because this is a woman who is used to people rejecting her, shunning her, going away, wanting nothing to do with her. And over time, those conversations developed. And yeah, stuff got spread about us. Things that weren't true that got spread about us, but people who knew us knew that stuff, and this was just basically time and time and time and time, loving her so much, sharing with her the good news of Jesus, but our own lives as well. And over course of time, years went by, she came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. She was the first person that we led to Jesus. And about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, Charlotte rang Trish, and she just said, I got to say thank you for coming. I just have to say thank you for coming. And Trisha's like, we haven't met, because they were going to meet that afternoon for coffee. She's like, well, we haven't met yet. What do you mean? She said, no. Thank you for coming to Ireland. Because if you didn't come to Ireland, I wouldn't have met Jesus. And if I wouldn't have met Jesus, there's no way I could have handled the things that have happened in the last 2 years without him. So thank you for coming. Simply put, having cups of coffee constantly with somebody, over time, they came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the cool thing about it's one of those simple things. This gentleman knows swear words I didn't know existed. I learn a lot from him. And he's an amazing guy and has a heart of gold, but an exterior, woo! And Mariah loves him. Mariah just absolutely adores him. He delivers our wood and our coal. And so I was like, okay, careful. Mariah's going to come out and she's going to say hi. She wants to see you. So be mindful of your language, okay? Okay, great. So Mariah came out from where the piano was, came out and was talking to him. And hi, pet, how are you? Oh, so good. Mariah beaming. Oh, yo. She's probably 6 or 7 at the time. And she turned and took about a half a step. And Duffy turned back to start talking to me. I'm like, Duffy, she's right there. But he has a history that is filled with violence and struggles and pain. And he and I would stand by his truck when he would deliver coal and he would deliver wood, and we would talk for hours on end. Years go by. He said, you know, I never thought there's a God who could actually love me just the way I am, but now I understand. He had heard all his life that he could never measure up. Now he's hearing the truth of the gospel, that it's not dependent on what we do. It's dependent on what he did on the cross. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The cool thing about ministry in Ireland is everybody we deal with has a story. Some of them are after God's own heart, right? Amen. Do I hear an amen for the Seahawks? Amen. Yeah. You know, I may or may not be an avid Seahawk fan. I may or may not, you know, have more memorabilia, you know, but this is a lecturer in Irish University who saw me with a Seattle Seahawk baseball cap on and came running up to me. You follow the Hawks? Yeah. We started talking about sports and we started talking about just insignificant things. And one of the things we've learned in Ireland is never underestimate the power of an insignificant conversation. Because what may be insignificant today keeps the conversation going to the point where over time, walking alongside, sharing our very lives with them, they come to an understanding of who God really is. As we look at ministry in Ireland, every life, every face, every family has a story. And we get to walk alongside them. We get to share with them, not in a formal way, but in a very informal way. I've had countless in-depth Bible studies without cracking a single page of the Bible. Sitting around a cup of coffee, and somebody will share a struggle. You know what really stands out to me when I look at these types of issues is this scripture, this passage. This means a lot to me. What does that mean to you? And then the next hour, we're wrestling through what is scripture? How does scripture play out in an individual's lives? Never step foot in a church, but hunger for spiritual truth. We work alongside people who are in different stages of recovery and different places. And we've been going up since it opened in 2008. And I do chapel with the guys. I do mentoring with them. I do different things with the staff, kind of pastor the staff. Trisha goes up and she teaches literacy for some of these men who have been thrown through the system. And she came home buzzing, and because one of her gentlemen wrote a sentence, a fat ham. I always thought it was a fat cat. Jonathan corrected me the other day. He's my helper because I would say stupid things all the time. A fat ham. And she was buzzing because he wrote that sentence for the very first time. This dude is now in university, in his second year of university, preparing to get his degree in addiction recovery to go back and help the same people that he came out of. Time and time and time again, when we share our lives with people, when we share the good news with people, when we share the hope of Jesus, people catch it. They're not going to come into church because of everything that is going on, but yet they hunger for truth. And so through partnership, through walking alongside them, waiting to be invited in. And I love the passage where Paul was talking, because he said, you know, it's not on flattery. It's not with manipulation. It's not with us trying to say things and get beyond. It's just simply loving on people where they're at, intentionally placing ourselves alongside our friends, waiting to be invited in.
And one of the coolest things about this way of going about it is that this only works for the two of us Howell family members, you know, 4,000 miles away in Wicklow Town in Ireland, right? This idea of building up those relationships, coming alongside, and getting to know somebody so that we can be there to support them. Not something that can be done here on the East Coast. Not something that can be done here in Gilead at all, right? It's only just us, you know, the official missionaries. And that's an idea that I want to pass on as we've been traveling, that yes, we need to have that done in Wicklow. Yes, we need to have that done in Ireland and Europe. But we also need that done right here. That, you know, we're called to be the light. We're called to be the salt, to stand out and be able to, even if that looks like a couple people, if that looks like one person that you think you can come alongside. Sometimes ministry looks like crossing the Atlantic. Sometimes ministry looks like crossing the cafeteria, crossing the street. Sometimes it looks like crossing the workplace just to get to know somebody, to know the people who you sometimes get shoved off to the side. You know those people. You know that they're there and that you're able to sort of come alongside and be their support, be there to, you know, pick them up when they're rough, you know, celebrate and, you know, mess around when things are going great. But just all the while being able to hear stories, being able to share stories, and at the end of the day, share the actual good news, the actual story that it all boils down to. So that's just a little bit of a challenge that I kind of want to issue you guys. If that looks like one person, that you'll be able to sort of, you know, start that here. Start the here at Gilead and just watch those ripples. Because it's a smaller place. The world's a smaller place than you think. When you bump into a kid in Ireland whose name is Jonathan, who lived in your hometown of Virginia, who's originally from France. The world's a smaller place than you think, and those ripples will travel. They really will.
The amazing thing is, you know, when we deal with people's lives, and we all understand this, it's hard. It's messy. The amount of times that we have been rejected, the amount of times that we have been shut down, the amount of times that people want nothing to do with us is, I can't even count. But let me just encourage you, as Jonathan gave you the challenge, hold on to this. This is probably one of the coolest cartoons I've seen in a long time. And I've held on to this. I can't even remember what I had for breakfast most mornings, but I remember the first time I saw this 12 years ago. If you can't read what he's saying, I give up, there's no use. As he's dug and dug and dug and dug and dug, and he can't find any gold, so he gives up. But yet, look at what is just a strike away. Look at what's just on the other side. And as we invest in people's lives, as we've walked with them for the past 10 and a half years, we keep going and keep going and keep going. We've been rejected. We've been turned away. We've had all manner of things said about us. That's okay. We'll share with you the good news of Jesus Christ in our very lives as well. And as we invest and as we partner, as we share, that's what we hold on to. There is no such thing as a hopeless cause. I know there's many who thought I was one, maybe some in this room as well. And here we are, serving the name of Jesus. And so I just want to keep coming back to thank you. Because for many of you, you have been partnering, you have been praying with us since we first came. I believe it was in 2006, 2007, and you've been praying with us and supporting us ever since. And so just have a few prayer requests. And so please pray for those relationships, because everything we do is based on relationship. And we don't have a formal church of, you know, where we meet together. But we have a faith community of 40, 50, 60 people that we have regular occurrences with, where we gather together. We bring families together at dinner time. And so we'll bring two or three families together and start building up community. And some of those relationships have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Others were still at, hey, it's cold outside. Never underestimate the power of an insignificant conversation. And also be in prayer, because currently we're going through, Trisha's going through her naturalization process so that she become a dual citizen. The Irish government, along with the whole spiritual climate, is making it extremely difficult for missionaries to continue to serve and work in Ireland. And so we go back on April 9th and we turn in our application for our renewal that's due by May 18th. And we don't know if they're going to say, yep, you can stay, or they're going to put unnecessary or very restrictive things on us. And so having a wife and having a mom who is an Irish citizen would be massive. So please be in prayer for that. You know, and we have been apart for the last 6 months or 4 months, and we have two more months to go, which is not the easiest thing. We are able to Skype every day and all of that, but just be in prayer. And as Jonathan and I put a mile or two on a car, I think we put 3 miles on the car so far. Yeah, at least three. And so be in prayer for our safety and our time away. And then please be in prayer for the financial side, because truly we are there because we are an extension of your hands and feet. We've always seen it as we partner together. We are serving the people of Ireland, but everybody, Charlotte, Duffy, Andy, on down the list, Martin and Mairead, are all because of you. We could not be there without our partnership. And so please be in prayer about that. And maybe you want to join with us. As Greg said, there's some information. But again, thank you for who you are, for the work that you're doing. Because we've often said the only difference between Ireland and America is you. In Ireland, we don't have a church that's able to stand up and go into our communities. When I look around this room, I see a whole bunch of people who are going out and proclaiming the name of Jesus in insignificant ways, but in powerful, powerful ways. So thank you for allowing us to come and share our heart for the people of Ireland, what God is doing, but also to challenge you. Where is God leading you?
Thank you, David. So how many believers did you say there are in Ireland? 40,000. Out of 4. So what is that? Is that 10%? No, it's 1%, right? How many people are in Morrow County? 32,000. Was I right about 1%? So 1% of that is what, 320 people? Can you imagine just 320 believers in Morrow County? And the insurmountable task that would be for us. So let's pray for them for that. Again, just a reminder, prayer cards on the back table. Please take one. Remind us to pray for them. There's two things we can do. We can pray and we can give. So just as a reminder, they're going to be taking an offering on the way out, or you can grab one of these and be one of their supporters as well on a regular basis. So let's have a word of prayer. And then you'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you today for David and for Jonathan for their visit to us. We pray for their family as they're separated. You just continue to bless them and be with them and give them strength as they travel and as they are home. We ask for you will continue to anoint their ministry and as the relationships will develop for them in Ireland and the financial support will be there so they can continue this amazing ministry that they have. We thank you for safe travel. Continue to keep them safe as they travel throughout the rest of the eastern region for a few weeks and back out west. In Jesus' name I pray. So remember to take God's power, God's presence, and God's provision is with you this week. You're dismissed. Angels don't